focus, just to persevere and just to make it. But everything that's within your grasp, you gotta take it, you gotta go harder. Just dig deeper inside you to find that method, that mode that wants that hunger to survive. Just to ride the grind and take it the way you gotta take it and never stop.
I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. Can't no one stop me, yeah, bring it in. I came to win, yeah, I came to win.
What's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast, where we talk about motivation, inspiration, dedication, and as always, just tapping into your higher self. And today is a fire episode on the podcast because we have one of my good brothers on here who is just extremely successful, entrepreneur, businessman. I mean, they blazing the trail crazy, man. This is my brother Leonard, man, representing the Black Coffee Company. What's up, Leonard?
Yo, what's up, fam? It's good to be on your platform, man. So thankful.
Look, man, look, we appreciate you taking out the time, brother. And, you know, I gave like a brief overview, you know what I mean, of you and the company shout out. But for people that aren't familiar with you and with your company, can you just tell them exactly about the Black Coffee Company, how it came to be, a little more about yourself? Just break it down.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Leonard Lightfoot. I'm 1/5 of the Black Coffee Company. So it's 4 other co-founders. It's myself, Jamin Butler, Chris Bolden, Gino Jones, and Brandon Cole. So we all went to undergrad together down at Xavier University of Louisiana. That's where our bond and friendship actually started. For the majority of us, but like Jamin and Gino, we all went to high school in LA. But yeah, so we went to undergrad together, you know, rocked out, and we graduated, started our professional careers, but still made in contact, right? So we went to each other's weddings, did all-star weekends, you know, the usual thing with the boys, right? But there was one trip we went to Motown for brother's graduation from Michigan State University. And so during the trip, we learned about how the Gordy family, you know, had a family and savings loan. And they used that to start Motown. Like, he took money from that loan. He was like, man, that's a pretty interesting concept, right? Like, we should do something together. Like, we partied, you know, put in on a bottle, but we never put in to, like, invest together. So we was like, hey, let's do something. So first, you know, we just all these ideas coming to the table. But we was like, let's just start small. Let's just start investing in the stock market. This is back in 2015-16 time frame. So we start $50 a month, just pull our money together and go purchase stocks. And that's how it started, actually. And then from there, we was like, man, this is, you know, we started to see the success of pulling our resources together. You know, the stock market was doing well, a lot of passive success. It was like, let's start a business. But then it was like, which business, right? I mean, you can start anywhere, right?
Right.
So again, throwing ideas out there, not given the fact that, you know, we're all remote at the time. I was in Ohio. I mean, Jamin and Gino was out in LA. We got Brandon in Seattle and Chris in ATL. We was like, what can we do? It's got to be something remote, like online. And then one day we was all on the call, saying like we're doing this podcast. We was drinking coffee. And the idea was like, hey, what about coffee? It was like a joke at first. We was like, wait, hold up. Let's do a little bit of research on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ticket, window. We all had little action items, but do a little bit of research. Came back. He was like, it's the number two commodity of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We can move this product, right? I mean, this product moves itself, literally, right? You look everywhere. People selling coffee. But the problem was we didn't know anything about coffee, right?
right. Where to start?
Yep. But we knew, working as a collective, that we could figure out and solve any problems that we want to do. So, I mean, once you decided to do it, we was all in. And we've been running ever since.
Wow. Wow. The crazy thing about it is, like, when you say that, too, when you say, like, what about coffee? It's like, that's a fact. Because no one thinks about it. Because, I mean, you look at all these big companies, and you got Starbucks, you got all these ones that they do it, and you don't really think it's so much attainable. So, like, I mean, I know the listeners got a lot of questions, but I got questions too, man. Like, how did you guys even, like, start that process? Like, so once you guys sat down, meeting of the minds, you pooled your resources together financially, it's like, all right, now we want to get into the coffee business. So, like, walk us through that. Like, what does that look like in terms of, like, where you're getting your product from, then, you know, packaging, like distribution, like just school us, man. One-on-one coffee for dummies.
Yeah, man. So like, again, strength in numbers, man. We was just blessed that it was five of us out the gate, right? So we could divide and conquer. We're still working on 9-to-5s as well. So it's like, hey, I'll go look up packaging. You go look up marketing, social media, right? We just kind of leverage each other's strengths right out the gate. But how it truly started was like, I literally went to Costco, like, this is my market research. I was just in the coffee aisle, right? Like, I was like, oh, people do buy coffee, right? So the product was moving, right? Because we wanted to get into like specialty coffee, like the whole beans, but majority of coffee that we see consumed is already ready-made or instant Folgers, right? It's like, well, is there really a market in the specialty coffee? Because that's the coffee that I started to consume, and I really noticed the different flavor profiles that it offered. It was like very dynamic flavors that like Folgers and all those big brands don't offer. And so that was something that we wanted to kind of bring to the forefront for our company. And then so like I actually just ended up going to a coffee symposium, and it was this roaster there. I mean, it was a whole bunch of different coffee vendors there. But we was just vibing with this coffee roaster. And I was like, man, we got this idea. It's half baked. You know, me and my boys want to go into the coffee industry. It was like, and we need some coffee beans. We need to learn how to import the product and everything. He was like, yeah, I'm learning as well. Let's learn together. And that's how we kind of started. But even before that, like, we knew we wanted to be in the coffee industry, but it took us a while to secure and learn, you know, the coffee industry. So we just got the website, created a social media page, and our first product wasn't even coffee. It was a mug. It was actually this woke mug right here.
Stay woke.
Like, stay woke, right? You know, it was like,
that's hilarious. I was wearing my black stay woke hoodie. That would have been, yep. Yo, that would have been fire if I would have had that on. Yeah. Oh man.
But from day one, we've been just trying to keep it like simple, right? We wasn't trying to like become a big brand out the gate. We literally just crawled our way, got ourselves out the mud, as we would say. Like, we first create a website, create a social media page, find out how to get mugs, how to deliver them. Like, literally just step by step, week by week, we just grew. And the strength in numbers really helped us out.
Yeah, I think that's a fact too, that we always emphasize on this podcast the fact that collaboration is greater than competition. So when you pull resources together, when you actually build those viable relationships to say, hey man, look, at the end of the day, you got a screwdriver, you got a hammer, yo, let's get this work, you know? Yep. And that's mm-hmm. important, like having that mentality, especially in minority-based communities. I think a lot of times it's a crab in a barrel mentality. We try to pull each other down instead of trying to build each other up. So that's fire, man. Like, I just love the way that you know, you guys were able to piece this together in the brotherhood, because I get that vibe from you. Like, it's a brotherhood. Like, it's deeper than business. Like, this is family. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys definitely have that family feel, man, at the core.
Yeah, absolutely. It was right at that perfect transition. I mean, we were starting to get married, starting to have kids. Then you realize this was much bigger than us. And another thing that I observed with the collective was that, not the fact that we was getting tired of our 9-to-5s, it was just that we was going up the corporate ladder, but at the same time moving further and further away from our community base, right? And so we was like, man, we need something where we can really channel what we've gained from college and all this experience working in the corporate world. How can we bring that back to the community? And coffee was just that vehicle that was just, I mean, everybody drinks coffee, right? And so let's sit down and have a conversation. Let's sit down and motivate. Let's sit down and work together. Coffee is that vehicle to bring people together.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, that's fire, man. And, you know, a question that I thought about, too, just in terms of the landscape of coffee, because I really don't know statistically how many Black-owned coffee companies are out there, like, you know, really just ran by and owned by Black. I mean, do you happen to know that by any chance?
I don't know the stats, but it's not enough. I can tell you that for sure. Because, I mean, we're like super minorities in this, in the coffee industry. And I guess the unfortunate thing is that, you know, coffee comes from, you know, the motherland, right? Ethiopia, right? And it's like, we don't even have representation in that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's just weird. But, I mean, we're here to change the narrative. one day at a time, man.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, man. I mean, well, it's y'all already doing it, man, because, you know, I had never heard of, like, you know, a Black-owned coffee company before. So, I mean, just the fact that you brothers are present and you're effective and you're dynamic at what you do, man, I salute y'all, because that's amazing, brother, you know?
Thank you, bro. Yeah.
So, yeah, without a doubt, bro. So, I mean, I got so many questions, man. I'm just going to try to compartmentalize all this stuff.
Okay.
So, I see behind you, you got the different bags. Are those different flavors of coffee that you have? So can you just tell the listeners, like, you know, the difference in each one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So right now, currently at theblackcoffeecompany.com, we get all our products
gotta
online.
Plug that.
You got to plug it. Got to. We also got a coffee shop, but I didn't even get to that story.
We're going to get to that, too.
Let's stay focused on the coffee. So right now we offer seven different varieties of coffee. They all from different parts of the world, actually. So we have coffee sourced from Kenya, Ethiopia, Costa Rica, Peru, Brazil. We got a Brazil, an espresso blend where we kind of, you know, blend different coffees together to get that espresso. Mm-hmm. Then we also got a Brazilian decaf for the people that like coffee but don't like the caffeine. So, then we also got tea too. So we have to expand into that because, you know, we got to feed the people.
Without a doubt. Do you have different variations of tea too, like different flavors as well, or what's
yeah? So right now we got three. We have a black tea, green tea, and herbal. Black tea is our ginger peach or Georgia peach, we call it. Our green tea is our Texas sweet tea, and it's like green tea infused with mango. And then we got our herbal tea, which is what you call is our California gold.
Got you, man. So all the listeners out there, man, that want to get involved, definitely, man. Y'all could get some of that, man. It sounds
coffee,
good, man.
Yeah, tea, we got you.
Without a doubt, man. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you too, brother, because, you know, a lot of times, Leonard, like we, of course, we talk about the successes and the wins of all our guests, but a lot of times we like to highlight some of the challenges that you had to overcome along the way. So what would you say, if you had to really look at the trajectory for what you guys have accomplished, what was the biggest challenge that you faced in terms of trying to get the company where it is today?
Yeah, I would definitely just say just communicating, like working with people, right? It's a challenge no matter how you do it, right? People that's married, right? I mean, you got it. Yeah. Like that one single wise words of wisdom is communication, right? Mm-hmm. And that, no matter what it is, that has been something that we've, you know, we had challenges with. But at the same time, it was a growth opportunity for us. Again, it's different to be boys, but it's another to be like vested together because we're literally dependent on each other to eat. Mm-hmm. Whereas in other cases, when we got our own separate jobs, it's like it's not that much dependency. So our brotherhood actually like got tighter because of that. We noticed that when we started investing together because we was having different conversations. It wasn't just surface type combo. It was like more financially intimate because we was dealing with money. It was like, man, I got these student loans, man. I'm like, how can we get rid of these student loans? Like, oh, what to do? Like, I want to purchase this car, but I don't really know about these loans. Like all these different things that we started having conversations about. And then also about investing too. So, I mean, communicating, that was one of our biggest things that we had to learn from. And that's something that we continue to work on. I mean, it's something you never perfect. You just continue to get better.
Yeah, that's a fact, man. And you know, like they say, communication and also comprehension, because it's like, you know, a lot of times people communicate, but it's like this. It's like this person speaking Spanish, this person speaking Swahili. They communicating, but they don't comprehend. So being able to effectively comprehend where each other is coming from and then make progress, you know. So you're absolutely right, man, about that. And I think too, it's also like, you know, it gives opportunities for growth too, because, you know, we're able to challenge each other and things like that. So it's fire,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, definitely
fire, brother. One thing I want to ask you too, because I see that you guys on the website, it's very detail specific. I love it. Very professional. You talk about community as well. And I love that because it's like, you see a lot of these companies where financially they take from our communities, right? They're taking money constantly out of the Black community, but they don't pour back into it. So could you just take some time just to talk about that community-based model, you know, why it's so important to you guys and exactly the dynamic things you guys are doing for the community?
Yeah, like I was mentioning earlier, like we're using our business literally to help the community. That's the number one priority or reason why we actually built the coffee company, was because of that. And from day one, even when we wasn't even like making any money, right, we like intentionally put money to the side to invest in the community. For one particular case, Humanity 360, we have a partnership with them. They're a nonprofit with these two dynamic women. They're actually going on a 50-state tour promoting mental health. So they're in a state each month on the road, you know, promoting mental health. And so we sell their products on our website and 100% of the proceeds go to them and their endeavors on the road. That's one particular case. So I'll start with our core principles is community empowerment and entrepreneurship. So we like to empower entrepreneurs. Back when the COVID first started, we was like, let's do a virtual expo, right? Because we had this following with, you know, the, creating that network of entrepreneurs. And so right, May 2020, we had our first virtual expo, and it was about bringing in the other vendors or entrepreneurs. We gave them a platform so that they could sell their products virtually. We didn't even sell ours. Like we didn't even have a plug for us, but we gave everybody a time slot. That's another example. And then an upcoming event that we're about to have, Black Coffee Fest. This is all for the community. We have our coffee shop in Atlanta, and we're going to use that space to create a two-day festival. We have entrepreneurs coming in to vend. We got speakers coming in to talk about financial literacy, talking about coffee. This is all for that community of Lakewood, Atlanta.
That's fire. Yeah, because that was on one of my notes too, the Black Coffee Fest, just to talk about what that was going to look like. And one thing I love too, man, is like the whole dynamic of financial literacy. I feel like that is so needed and so important. And, you know, especially in the Black community, a lot of times I feel like it's not that we don't have the finances. It's just having the knowledge in regards to how to invest those finances. You know, if you're able to get your child the latest Jordans, you know what I'm saying? And you can get the retros and spend like $400, you know, or a Gucci belt or a Louis belt, right? Or you can pull up in front of your housing projects with the latest BMW. You have the financial resources. It's just being financially literate and being intelligent enough to know where should I be placing my money so that it yields a nice return for me. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So, yeah, that's dynamic, man. That's dynamic. Well, definitely, yeah. Man, gonna look out for that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Like, I mean, that's near and dear to my heart. Like, financial literacy. Like you mentioned those things. I think a lot of it has to do with just like, you know, the literacy is one aspect of it. You know, discipline is another aspect, and like management and the ability to think long term. Unfortunately, like in our community, we just are not trained, or just it's not something that we used to thinking long term because we don't have much, right? So you got that whole delayed gratification is just not something that's practiced as frequently as it should be, and that's where the true power of like investing is, the long term plays. Quick money, yeah, we know how to get quick money, right? We know how to do that really well. But it's the slow grind, right? That marathon type money, like, that's where we need to, you know, shift the mode a little bit. And I just want to, you know, shout out my brothers, Earn Your Leisure. I mean, they paving the way in terms of changing that mindset for us.
Yeah, yeah. Look, huge shout out to EYL, man. Shout out my cousin too, MG, the mortgage guy.
Oh yeah, Matt. Facts.
Yeah, man. I was just talking to him, man. Yeah, it's definitely fire what they're doing, because it's generational wealth, like we talk about, you know, and changing the trajectory for the generations to come, you know, and just giving them that broader perspective. So fire, man. Definitely fire, man. One thing I wanted to ask you too, in terms of like, and I ask every guest this question as well, like, what is your mantra that you have But in addition to that, what's the mantra for the company? Like, mine is always persistence wears down resistance. So no matter what you're dealing with, like, you're just going to hammer away. You're going to succeed. You're going to push past, push through all those obstacles. So what's the mantra for Leonard? And then what's the mantra for the company?
I'll say mine's is like, now is always the right time. Like, I feel like a lot of people always try to figure out what the stars got to align, that, you know, this is the right time to do whatever, or I'm going to wait till next year. This is not the right time. I always say, just do it at the end of the day, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. It's going to be different circumstances that you got to deal with, but you just got to be committed to it and go for it at the end of the day. And then the motto for the company, very similar, I would say, probably, I think of a good one that we use. What would classify us? We say TMC all the time, right? I mean, majority of us was from Cali, you know, shout out to Nipsey.
But marathon continues.
We don't really, you know, we get out the mud. Like, we grind. We don't really wait till things get polished to try to put ourselves out there. Like I said, we just started with a coffee mug. We didn't have no coffee beans at the time, but we was like, this is something that we're committed to doing. And we've been running, like, literally, like, we've been taking a lot of chances, and I think that strength in numbers has really helped us to be successful along the way.
Definitely, man. And, you know, you made a good point, man. Like, a lot of times people just got to go, you know, like, you can't wait for the quote unquote, perfect time, perfect moment. Sometimes you just got to step out on faith, right? And say, well, we walk by faith, not by sight. So sometimes just having that perspective to say, yo, you know what? I got this vision. I got this drive. I might not necessarily have everything in order that I need, but I just got to take this leap of faith and just let the stars align. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that's what holds a lot of people back too. It's like they feel, oh, I ain't got enough money. You know, oh, I ain't got enough connections. You know, but what you find is that once you start taking those steps, man, the universe has a dope way of things just coming together. You know what I mean? So it's like your drive, your grind, your ambition, your faith, just stepping out there, everything will start to align itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all about, like, communicating your dreams or your thoughts and what you want to do. Like, the more you communicate it, the more passion that you show for it. Like, it's just crazy the amount of people that pour into you and just give you all this energy to, like, keep going. Like, for us, initially, everybody was like, why are you guys doing coffee? But we just kept going. And then they was like, oh, I get it now. I see the tie with the finances.
Like, they're like y'all want to start a record label?
Or something like that. Records? Yep. Or start an app, right?
So something right, like yeah, tech, right? Right. Cliche. Cliche, man. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's true, though, man. Like, thinking outside the box, man. You know, like, even like when I... You know, it's like they push these agendas to the Black community because it's what we label as successful. So it's either you're playing sports or you're an entertainer. You know, like, those are the avenues that they lay out for us. So it's like, you know, and then it doesn't help when, I mean, most of the successful people that we see that look like us do those things, right?
It's like, yep.
You're dunking a basketball, you know, or you're rapping, you're singing, like, this is what it is. So, I mean, it's just so inspiring, man, to see cats like yourselves, man, just thinking outside the box, man, doing something different, man. It's truly dope, man. Bro. No, definitely, yeah, definitely, man, without a doubt, bro. So, something else I wanted to ask you too, Leonard, like, for anybody that's listening to the pod right now, that's motivated, they're inspired, they're driven, and they got some capital, and they want to get in the coffee business, do you guys offer franchising opportunities? And if so, how can somebody go about that? Like, let's say someone in New York, someone out in wherever, Detroit, they want to do something. What's that look like?
Yeah, so I mean, right now that's our end goal. Well, not our end goal, but that's one of our goals, that we want to get into the franchise model. But like you said, we didn't know how to do it at first, right? So what we did do was, with our coffee shop, we did a family and friends investing, which is, yeah, you see it. See the tech companies do it. You see all these other communities doing. I was like, I never seen it done in our community. So we put together a pitch deck, and we went to our network. Like, we all went to college, so we all you know, these college educated people, we have our peers in our community, they see the work that we're doing. We gave them the pitch. And like over the past 2 years, we raised almost $100,000 from the community. Like, mm-hmm. No banks, nothing. That's just giving them a pitch to see our passion. So if you're interested in investing in the Black Coffee Company, we have investment opportunities. I think we have over 25 investors that helped raise $100K. So like that's part of our tie to financial literacy. Like we want to make sure we get them a return on their money because they invested in us. Just to start that practice, right? It has to be a practice. Otherwise, it's never going, I mean, it's just going to be like in theory, like, oh, we see people doing that, but you don't never see people practicing that. So we use our company literally for practice all the way. Like, you want to invest with us, we make sure you get your money back. You want to learn about entrepreneurship, like we teach classes. We're like pretty transparent because, I mean, the business is not just your product and selling. It's about accounting, about marketing, it's all these other things. So like we're 100% transparent. Now that we have a coffee shop, I mean, this is literally just a magnet for entrepreneurs. It's always just people in there with their laptops asking mm-hmm. this question, like, how do we start? How did you do this? Oh, how did you raise capital? Like, how do you do the accounting? Like all these questions that we have, we just share that knowledge with the community openly because we know that's what the power is. Like you said, that knowledge and the ability to like break down those barriers within our community, especially with money, right? That trust is real.
That's
right?
That's it.
We know family members that don't give each other a dollar, right? So it's like we know. So we use our company for practice, literally. Like, and we try to build trust because we saw that it worked for us. It was just five of us. And people mm-hmm. like, man, you guys got to replicate the model. You got to teach us how to do an investment club. It's like, well, let's do something a little bit bigger that can scale. Let's do this like with a business. Let's have something that people can see and, you know, walk into. Because sometimes mm-hmm. these apps and all that is just slow.
A little janky sometimes.
It's like, okay, this is a coffee shop. Janky. I see people going in and out.
Yeah.
Get it, right? Whereas like something else is just not, it's just, even the stock market is hard for people to understand too, right? And then now you got crypto. So it's like, those things are good investments. You know, real estate is good investment too, but sometimes it's not, if you don't see it or you don't practice it, it's hard for people to really invest into it, so.
It's a fact. You know, a question I have for you too, circling back, because I know when you guys started pooling finances together and you had your investments in the stock market, which stocks performed the best for you guys? We were lucky.
Like, I mean, everybody was lucky back then, right? You invested.
Oh yeah, the golden yeah. day, right?
Yeah, 2016-15 to now, you did good, right? Now,
good. You
the
good.
Market is down, but so we was early investors in Tesla, which is crazy, right? Because we was all really big into this autonomous driving, so we was investing in a lot of like microelectronics, semiconductor companies, sensor companies, just anything that would enable like wireless autonomous driving. And then we kind of shifted a little bit because we got some in Apple, Microsoft, obviously those do well as well. But then we started doing more ETFs. Mm-hmm. It just made it a little bit easier because, you know, trying to pick those stocks is, you know, it's challenging, right? You don't know
what's
up and down. Yeah, so we were like, well, let's just keep it simple. Let's just do the dollar cost averaging. Let's just invest in some ETFs every month. That way we're still investing, but we're not having to do all this crazy research to try to pick this golden stock, right?
Yeah. That's where people mess up, man. Like a lot of times, FOMO, if people listening don't know what FOMO is, fear of missing out. So a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? They get these meme stocks. They put a whole bunch, they put like 20, 30 bands. And they lose it, you know what I mean? Because they ride a wave that's, you know, it's, you can't really gauge it. So like you said, ETFs, all these different things that are more stable for the most part, you know, like they're more sound investments. So yeah, definitely, man. Definitely, man. Well,
I mean, you won't get rich, but I mean, you'll make money.
Of course.
And it requires very little effort, right?
Of course, man. Just set it and forget it. You know, so that's fire, man. I mean, this has just been a dope podcast, man. You know, I appreciate you, brother. You know, just for coming on, taking the time, And once again, just shoot all the socials, man, the social media, where people can find you, brothers. And, you know, definitely plug the Coffee Fest again, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go through my spiel. So all of our products is online. TheBlackCoffeeCompany.com. That's the way it sounds. And then our IG handle is BLK Coffee Co. That's BLK COFFEECO. That's our main Black Coffee social media. Then we also got our brick and mortar, which we opened last June 10th of 2021, Black Coffee Atlanta, 1800 Jonesboro Road, Southeast, Atlanta, GA 30315. Please, if you're in Atlanta, it is a must-stop place. It's a destination spot for sure. And then also, this year, April 15th to 16th in Atlanta, Black Coffee Fest. It's a mixture. It's a perfect blend of entrepreneurship and coffee. That's what we call it, right? So you into coffee, into tea, come there. You into trying to be empowered as an entrepreneur. We have seminars, workshops for you. If you're into yoga, we're going to have yoga on Friday. And then on Saturday, we'll have a community workout. So, I mean, it's something for everybody. Bring the kids. It's going to be fun. You can check out more information on Black Coffee Fest at blackcoffeefest.com.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up, Lennon. Well, look, man, you know, we appreciate y'all. We champion y'all and support y'all, any and everything y'all doing. So definitely, man. Definitely, brother.
Yeah. Thank you so much for, you know, allowing us to share our story on your platform. And much success to you. Keep killing the game.
Of course,
we need
brother.
These conversations.
Yeah.
Podcast is a very powerful tool, man. So, yeah, I salute you, man. Thanks.
Definitely, man. Look, I salute y'all, brother. I appreciate you, man. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man, once again, it's the Diagnosis Success Podcast, man. Shout out to the Black Coffee Company, my brother Leonard. Y'all already know what it is, man. Support these brothers, man. They definitely doing great things, man. Much success to all of y'all. Salute. Peace.
Winning so much that it seems wrong. Never gonna lose, that's my theme song. I'm just a kid in the jeans, y'all. Back to reality, ain't no one bad as me. See, they be doubting, but I keep on actually pushing. Not giving up, that's how I give it up. Pushing, not giving up, that's how I give it up.